I hope you enjoyed a blessed weekend. If you're following Christ, as am I, then I trust your weekend included worship of our Master Jesus in your church, or if you're not able to get to church, then wherever you were. We do not need to be in a church building to worship our holy God. In fact, most of your week is not spent on the grounds of a church. That's why the New Testament teaches that we, God's people, are the body of Christ. We are the church, and wherever we are, we're in the presence of God, and He is there so that we can worship Him. Friends, do not think of worship as something you only do on Sundays at quote-unquote church. In fact, I encourage you to develop a regular rhythm of worship, prayer, and Bible reading in each and every day of the week, Monday through Sunday. And I recommend you do this when you have a maximum amount of energy and not when you're half asleep. If you're like me, the best part of the day is the morning. I love morning so much that after lunch, I feel like the rest of the day really loses its luster. But others of you really come alive at night or even late at night when everyone else is asleep. Whenever you're at peak energy, worship God, who is holy. Here on God Is, we are learning who God is, and our primary source for this is the Bible. The Bible is God's very word to us and tells us exactly who God is in all His majestic glory. And right now, we are in a nice stretch of time as we focus on the truth. God is holy. He is holy, holy, holy. Let me remind you what we have done. At the start, we searched the Scriptures and saw that God is holy, and we talked quite a bit about His holiness. It's crucial that we understand this about God. His holiness is at the core of His being and explains Him. And then we began to connect God's holiness to our own holiness because the two are definitely connected. Now, when I say began to, that indicates that we've not yet finished. True. So what I want to do this week is to continue to speak to you about the holiness that we ourselves are to have. And to do this, let me remind you where we left off on Friday. Last week, we read in both Exodus and Leviticus in the Old Testament about the requirements for holiness that God commanded in the building of the tabernacle, and the high standards for personal holiness that God gave to the priests who will serve Him in the tabernacle. And so that we were focused, sharp, I took us into Leviticus chapter 16 and the Day of Atonement. This was the one day all year when the high priest was commanded to go into the Holy of Holies, that inner sanctuary of God's presence. Inside that small space was the Ark of the Covenant, and on top of the Ark was the mercy seat, and the high priest was to atone for the sins of the people of God in preparation for the presence of God to descend on that place. And so I've told you about the high priest, what he did and what he wore. A bull, two goats, two other men, and Jesus Christ, all related to the Day of Atonement. And all of what I shared with you is available as a podcast from the WEZE website. All you have to do to get it free of charge is type www.590amtheword.com into your web browser and click podcasts, and God Is will be there. So if you've not heard all of the broadcasts in this series, go get them today and get up to speed. Now, when I left off on Friday talking to you about the relationship between Jesus Christ and the Day of Atonement, I didn't quite finish. I have one more important connection I want to make today, but first a quick refresher on what I have said so far. First, we saw how important washing and cleansing of the body was for the high priest and the men who dealt with the animals in the tabernacle. And we made the connection between the washing and cleansing of these servants of God in the tabernacle and Jesus Christ washing and cleansing us from all our sins. Second, we talked about the goats used on the Day of Atonement. There were two goats. The first goat was the sin offering. The blood of that goat was sprinkled on the mercy seat by the high priest in the Holy of Holies as a way to appease the wrath of God. This blood satisfied the anger of God against sin. Well, likewise, when Jesus shed His blood on the cross, His death for sin appeased the wrath of God. Jesus satisfied the wrath, the holy anger of God. God hates sin, and His anger for sin must be appeased. When a person believes in Jesus Christ to be the Savior from their sin, and likewise the Lord and Master of their life, God is no longer angry. God no longer feels wrath towards that person because Jesus has satisfied God's wrath for that man or woman. So you there, by your radio, if you have genuine faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, obeying the commands of Christ, then God is not angry with you. But if you there by your radio do not have a genuine faith in Christ as the one and only person who can save you from your sin, and if you do not worship him and obey his commands as the Lord and master of your personal life, then God's wrath is on you. John chapter 3 and verse 36 says this, "He who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Oh, how I urge you to abandon sin by putting your full faith and trust in Jesus today. And I'd be very happy to talk with you more about how you can do this, about how you can move from being a person on whom the wrath of God abides to being a person who God is no longer angry with, because Jesus will wash you and cleanse you of sin and take away sin from you. No matter how bad your sin, Jesus will do this for you. So please email me today if you want to know how to experience this great joy and peace in your life. My email address, to be repeated later, is mark@markaswallow.com. M-A-R-K at markaswallow.com. So that, in short summary, are the connections the Bible makes between Jesus and the Day of Atonement, and there's one more. You really need to see this. Jesus Christ is the high priest. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ is the high priest. Let me show you from the Bible that Jesus is our great high priest. And to do this, I'll focus again on the book of Hebrews. As I told you last week, when we read Exodus and Leviticus, we also want to have the book of Hebrews handy. Hebrews identifies the connection between the Old Testament sacrificial practices commanded by God and Jesus Christ's ministry on our behalf. Hebrews is also a tight and succinct summary of much longer and sometimes more complex passages in the Old Testament. So let's begin by seeing that Jesus is our great high priest. Where does the Bible say that? I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession." And then Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. This one will likely be familiar to Christians within the sound of my voice. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." And then Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26, I read this last week and encouraged you to memorize it. I love this. "For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens." This is a magnificent description of Jesus Christ, Hebrews 7 verse 26, and it says that Jesus is the high priest. And one more, Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. Now the main point in what has been said is this. We have such a high priest, Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. So Hebrews 3:1, 4:15, 7:26, and 8:1, do you hear it? If you have your Bible there, do you see it? High priest, high priest, high priest. This is Jesus Christ. He is our great high priest. The Bible is very clear about this truth. But it is not enough that I just say it, or even that I show you factual statements in the Bible. I also want to share with you today how Jesus is the high priest. How does Jesus live out this role, this office, this service to God the Father? Well, first, Jesus is the offering for sin. Whereas the blood of the bull and the goat was the offering for sin in the earthly tabernacle, when Jesus died on the cross, he bled on that cross. And his own personal blood is now the sacrifice for our sins. God accepts Jesus' blood for our sins. Second, the high priest never personally died for sin. On the Day of Atonement, he entered the Holy of Holies and completed his duties, and then he left and went on with his life. But Jesus personally, himself, died for sin. Not his sin, because Jesus never, ever sinned, but for our sins. I think immediately of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. The Apostle Paul writes this to the church at Ephesus, referring to Jesus. "Christ also loved you, and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. That certainly affirms that Jesus is our high priest. He gave himself up. He died willingly as an offering and sacrifice. He is the offering for our sin. Jesus fulfilled the duty of the high priest, but he took it much further than that by becoming the sacrifice, by becoming the offering himself. Here are some other scriptures found within the book of Hebrews that affirm this. Hebrews 9:26 talks about the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 9:28 says that Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. Hebrews 10 and verse 10 talks about the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And still in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12, the Bible says that Jesus offered one sacrifice for sins. And also in Hebrews 10 and verse 14, for by one offering. And I'll post all these scriptures on God Is Facebook and Twitter so that you have them. God Is, W-E-Z-E, God Is, W-E-Z-E, on Facebook and Twitter. Friends, Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And yes, this is related to our holiness, because without Christ being the great high priest, we cannot be holy. The only way, I emphasize the only way that we can be holy as God is holy, is if God himself makes us holy. And God accomplishes this through his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. So I invite you to come back tomorrow, and we'll continue to learn together this week that God is holy. He is holy, holy, holy. His holiness is at the core of his being. This is who God is, and his holiness affects us deeply.